You're listening to In Shane in the Membrane. Here's your host, Shane Thompson.
Hello, and welcome to the In Shane in the Membrane podcast. I'm your host, Shane Thompson, and with me as always for now, Jason S.
Happy to be here.
Everything feels right with this episode so far.
Yeah, it's a good start.
I listened to the other one, and I was like, this is weird.
Berkeley was thrown off, too.
My brain was not having it, and I was like, I can't listen to this and drive a car at the same time because I'm going to have a wreck because my brain's not
You think most people listen to the podcast when they're walking? Or in the car, or like doing laundry, you know, to-dos around the house.
People have told me different things. But yeah, driving is up there, like top three activity. Yeah. Number two would be house chores or mowing the yard or something like that. Sure. Something monotonous. Some kind of monotonous chore.
You got it.
And three would be, I don't know that anyone's like just sitting there listening to it, not doing anything. I don't know if anyone does that. You know, like you're reading a book.
Not. Yeah.
You know, you're reading a book. I don't think anybody does that. Yeah. I'll just go car, number one. Number two would be a chore.
A chore. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably true. I think. Yeah. Okay.
So we're starting out right. This is normal. This is good. It feels good. Feels right. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. How are you, Shane?
Oh, well, I'm great. Thank you for asking, too. Lately, I've been great, and people ask me, and I'm like, I'm great. And that catches them a little off guard, like, oh, you're great, you know, because usually you don't say great.
Yeah.
You say good.
I usually say good. Great, yeah.
Well, that's because you are great, once again.
So when you say great, people oftentimes want to know why.
Yeah, sometimes, and I'm like, I don't know what's not to be great about. It's a beautiful day.
It's been really nice.
It's been great weather.
Yeah.
Just heavenly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's hard to be upset on a really nice, you know, 70-degree sunny day, for me at least.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm great. Thank you. This past weekend on Saturday morning at 9 a.m., my middle son, Colby.
Shout out.
Graduated from college.
From Honors College.
Yes, but this was just the regular.
Oh, okay.
Oklahoma State University graduation.
9 a.m. on a Saturday.
Yeah, man. I know, and I had to get up at like 6 and then go pick up my mom and sisters and take them down there because we had to leave at 7 because everybody gets there early and you got to save seats.
Oh, yeah.
Then you get into that whole seat-saving thing.
Yeah,
you know?
And
it's funny. So Randa had went in and she saved some seats.
Okay.
And then I came in just a little bit later, but I was still like 45 minutes before the graduation. So this was like, you know, 8:15. And I go up she told me the wrong entrance. And so I had to go up the other entrance where I have to go past several people on that aisle to get it, you know. So I'm going down there and I'm passing this, and there's a bunch of empty seats, and then pass the guy, and the guy's like, oh, these seats are saved. And then I passed him. I said, yeah, for me, thanks. And I sat down. he knew that I was kidding. You know,
Did he really?
I did it with a smile on my face. And he just laughed. And I don't have the guts to actually do something like that in real life. I could never do that. Could you ever do that?
No, I don't like that.
Just like, no one's sitting here and I'm here. So I'm taking these seats. Because there's no official rules about seat saving, but we all kind of know that's the deal. Now, one person trying to save like 20 seats is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah,
just because you put a coat on one end and a book or something on the other, that doesn't mean you have the right to save 20 seats per one person.
I agree. We should settle the rules. So how many people shouldn't you save a seat for?
I would say you could do double the number of people there.
Oh,
so if you have two people, if you have two people, you could save four seats.
Wow.
If you have five, you can save 10 seats. That's you disagree? Go ahead. Tell me the rule that you would set.
I was thinking one person could save four seats.
Wow.
You could have a total of four.
So you could have four people saving 16 seats. It's a lot of seats.
Yeah, you could. I would say that'd be okay.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But
I don't think that one person should be able to save 20 seats. Graduation seat saving is a whole thing.
It really is. It really
so
is.
So how many seats did Randa save?
Well, she was with two of the boys.
Okay. So three of you.
So, yeah, or there were four.
four of you there.
I think there were four. Yeah, okay. And not me, but there were four. And she, I think she saved like 10 seats total.
Okay.
So four and save 10. But yeah, but you can, four people can really kind of look like an Aries field pretty good.
Yeah, so, you can. You can kind of spread out. And talk,
but it always stresses her out. She's like, get here, get in these seats. I don't want to have to, you know, tell people the seats are saved or blah, 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 you know.
Yes.
I have to worry about getting into it. But anyway.
Huh.
So
should they sell tickets to that? And you should be able to have like,
so during
you know, you spend more money, get closer
during
as a fundraiser
during COVID.
Yeah,
we've already forgotten about that, but that did happen not too long ago. I don't know if people remember.
Of course.
But during that, other than 2020, and so this was the class. So this is the class of 2024.
They didn't have a graduation.
That's
high
right,
school
of the high school
Whoa.
Class of 2020.
I remember
they
that.
They did. They did. A couple of the speakers brought that up.
Uh huh.
And I'm like, you definitely need to mention it because these kids, like, this is their only, this is probably their first proper graduation.
Wow.
Because of that situation. So anyway, and just made a point of like, you're the class of that year of 2020, the high school class. So that's shaped you in many ways.
Sure.
So anyway, but during COVID in the next couple of years or whatever, you had where you had to have a ticket.
Yeah.
But it was just limited the number of seats. So even at the SNU graduation, like a couple of years ago, they were very limited, the number of seats, and so then and it was a big deal. But the tickets weren't like specific to a seat, and that's where maybe we should, right? What if we sold tickets just like it's a regular concert or sporting event? I mean, you pay more money for better tickets down low. I don't know. I cringe at that because I think, well, I want everyone to be there even if you can't afford a ticket, but at the same time, this is a big deal, and so a lot of people would. But then, you
everyone
know,
can be there. It's got to be up in the 300s.
I'm sure that they would complain about classes system or something.
Yeah, they probably
that,
would. It's probably true.
I mean, when I say they, I mean someone. Someone who probably doesn't have as many means as someone else would claim that. And I'm not picking on anyone in particular. I might be the one saying that. Like, I can't afford a $1,000 ticket. You know, to sit down low to see my only child graduate from college, first one in the There's family or whatever.
It's like probably a complex issue. So
I don't know. So they never have.
You go to graduation. It's 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Or actually, it's 8:15 a.m.
When I went in there, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, correct.
And where was it at?
Gallagher Iba Arena.
Oh, so it wasn't the football stadium.
No, they don't do it in the football stadium.
Oh, okay. I was thinking football stadium.
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
There's less people in a basketball stadium than a football stadium.
That's true, but that's a big basketball stadium. And then you're indoors, so it's not, you know, and they can control the climate because it can still be hot, you know.
Yeah, or stormy.
Yeah, or stormy. So when you're inside, you're like, we don't have to worry about that. They had like in the beginning, they had a whole bagpipe, like band that was marching down with like 8 or 10 people playing bagpipes. And first of all, I'm thinking, who plays the bagpipe?
You go to school.
How do you get into playing the bagpipe? Did your parents play the bagpipe? Did you see one sometime and you know on TV and you're like, I got to do that? And where do you go to learn bagpipe? I don't know. There's a million questions I have about bagpipe here in Oklahoma specifically. Maybe in Scotland, it's like a requirement. It's a prerequisite in school, right? To take bagpipe 101 and 102. I don't know, but it's not here. So I don't know where you learn bagpipe here, but there's at least 10 people. Maybe they came from out of state. I don't know. But it was great. The bagpipes were really cool.
It sounds like it's a tradition at Oklahoma State to have bagpipes at the commencement.
They're wearing the kilts and the whole nine, and there's this old dude with all kinds of, you know, big hat and whatnot. And he's like a band leader, you know,
yeah,
out there.
I see
him and
right
they
here.
They march all around, and then they march out, and it's pretty cool, though. I like bagpipes. So I thought it was pretty
good. I love
and
bagpipes.
they got the drums and the bagpipes going. It was pretty great. Huh. Okay, so then the commencement speaker was Stephanie Bice. Do you know who that is?
Is that Bo Bice's sister from the second season of American Idol?
Maybe.
No, she is a politician in the state of Oklahoma.
I had no idea.
No, come on.
Hand to... I don't know any politicians. I pay zero attention to politics, okay, because I think it's a waste of my life. So I just don't spend any time with it. I'm sorry. If that makes me a bad citizen, so be it.
She's not a senator. She's one of our U.S. reps.
Okay. I barely know the difference, man.
Okay.
I barely know the difference. I I slept through government in high school.
I'm going to say the name of a couple of different politicians in Oklahoma. You tell me what their role is.
Oh, wow. Okay. This is going to be embarrassing. Go ahead.
Kevin Stitt.
He's the governor.
He's the governor. You know a politician.
I know the governor because one of my clients is a good friend of his, and he talks about him all the time. Okay. That's the only reason, because I have a personal connection.
James Lankford.
He's a U.S. senator.
There you go. Yeah, you've nailed two of the top three.
Is a senator the one that there's only two from each state?
Yes, that's only two. Okay, now how about this?
Who's the other one?
Okay, do you know?
I have no idea.
It was Tom Cole.
Does the whole state vote on both of them, or you have to be in a certain district?
No, the whole state votes on our senators.
But a representative, you have to be in their district to vote on them? Is that how that works?
Uh-huh.
I have no idea who my representative is.
You know what?
I have no idea.
The other Republican that replaced Tom Cole was the plumbing guy, Mark Wayne Mullen. And he's been in some, I would say, hot water if I was thinking about a plumber, you know?
But
he's been in some controversial, you know, moments in the U.S.
What politician hasn't been?
Well, I don't know. So one more.
Okay.
I actually call him, I need to make sure I know what his first name is, because I use his first name.
Go ahead.
David Holt.
The mayor of Oklahoma City.
Yeah, you got it. Look, you know politicians.
I don't know that I could have named him without you naming him.
How was Stephanie Bice?
She was pretty good. She's not super old. She's not all that old. I don't know. She feels like she's my age. Maybe younger, probably younger than me. I don't know. But she was pretty short, and that's the main thing. Just keep your speeches short, number one.
She was born in 1973. She's 50 years old.
She's exactly my age.
She's exactly your age.
I was born in 1973. I was born in April, so I'm already 51. Couple takeaways from that. So she did make a good point that I never really thought about this, but she was saying as parents, she called it windshield time. She said, because there's no better time to talk to your kids than windshield time. And that just means, and you would probably attest to this.
I love this.
Right?
I love
this. And I thought, she's dead on with that. Especially when you're driving your kids back from school.
Yeah.
And they're just regurgitating kind of their day. Like, that's the only time they're really going to talk to you. I know something about sitting in the car, having a trapped child, and then they're going to talk to you. But then when they get home, everything else distracts them. So forget other quality time talking. So it's about windshield time. And that was pretty cute. But someone else got up to then thank her. And here's my main takeaway from this whole story.
Okay.
She then thanked her, like, essentially for her service. Like you would somebody in the military. Like, oh, and thank you for your service to Oklahoma or whatever.
Okay.
I have a problem with that.
Oh, okay. Why?
She getting paid?
She is getting paid. Not a lot.
No, I understand that. Do you think she's really doing this because she's trying to help Oklahoma?
Mm-hmm. I think most politicians believe that they are doing that.
I don't.
You don't?
No, sir, not at all.
You don't believe that a politician thinks that they are helping the people that they...
No, sir.
What do you think that she's in it for?
The power.
Oh, okay.
The power, period. I have a very cynical view of politicians. I'll admit that, and maybe a lot of them got into it with good intentions. But when you get in there, it changes you, and you have to play the game. And I get that, because you don't play the game, you're Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Did you ever watch that movie?
Never seen that one either.
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. It's only like 100 years old, and Jimmy Stewart.
Okay.
Is this young representative, I think, from Tennessee, and he gets elected, but he's really a patsy, like they're kind of setting him up, and they just thought he'll go along with all of our stuff. Well, there's an older congressman that's from his state, too, that he looks up to, that's just kind of controlling him like a puppet because he's in the big pocket of big industry, you know, whatever. And so he won't play ball, so then they just frame him and make him look terrible because he is really like the innocent person who thinks they can do good for the country, right? But he's clearly in the minority.
Sounds like I'm going to like him.
But he's in the minority. Everyone else is the typical politician. And in the end, it's very unrealistic because in the end, the elder congressman like breaks down and being like, no, no, I'm lying. You know, everything he said was right. I'm lying. And that's baloney. That never happens, right? Because they won't, because they're too committed to the game that is politics. But here's what I'm saying. You signed up for this. You worked hard to get in the position.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting paid.
Yeah.
And not only that, you're getting a lot of other stuff too. You're getting a lot of recognition. You're getting a lot of publicity. It's going to help you the rest of your life.
Yeah, probably all three of those things.
And,
yeah,
and
sure.
Probably it's a fact. It's a fact. So there's a lot that you're getting out of this that's self-interest.
Man, but there's a lot of bums. There's a lot of things that would just really be hard about that job. Like, a lot of people are going to hate you.
Then why are so many people fighting to get in those positions, Jason?
Well, I think some probably for the reasons you are saying, but I think some people really want to help.
Yeah, the people that want to help, like our friends that have run, they don't get elected.
Yeah, I don't have very many friends that got elected.
Boom. Listen, I don't know Stephanie Bice. I'm not being hard on her, okay? She's born in 73. Hey, man, she's Gen X. It's all good. But I just don't think it's necessary to thank a politician for their service. Now, I thought a little more about this, and we thank military members for their service, right? That's very typical.
Yeah.
Do military members get paid? Yes or no?
Yes, I guess.
Do you know if they get paid or not?
I think some of them do, but I don't know all of them. All of them would.
All of them get paid.
Okay. I was like, maybe some people don't.
No, they all get paid.
Okay.
They all get paid. Not much money.
It can't be a lot.
No, it's not much. I mean, depending on the role, obviously. But no, they don't get paid. Here's the difference, and here's why. Because I know that a lot of young people go in the military not because they want to help their country. This isn't Vietnam, okay, or World War II. More like World War II. World War II was like guys that are 16 are faking their age because they want to get into the battle to, you know, fight for America. You know, that's gone. That's gone,
yeah,
for the most part.
That is, yeah.
Vietnam, that certainly was, and then now, you know, so they have their own personal reasons for getting in the military. But I will say this. I will still thank anybody in the military for their service for this very reason.
Okay.
They are putting their life on the line. They may be out there on the front line someday, and they may get killed in action. A congressperson or senator or whoever, they're not putting their necks out on the line physically. So you're not going to get a thank you from me for your service. But people that actually put their lives on the line, maybe it's even inadvertent. Right? They're like, I'm not doing it for you, but you're still doing it. So I'm going to thank you anyway because I don't want to do it. You're doing a job that I don't want to do. I could easily be a politician in my sleep because that job is easy. Easy, easy, easy. All right? You just lie left and right and you pander to both sides. It's a cakewalk, man. I could easily do that job in a heartbeat.
Well, I could not. I would have a hard time being a politician.
I wouldn't at all. I'd be like, I'd just play the game just like everybody else and be just as worthless and inefficient and ineffective as everyone else because that's what they are. Wow. I didn't mean to come up that short. Listen, she gave a good speech. Stephanie Bice gave a good speech. I didn't even know who she was. But I liked it. It was short. She had some good points. But then it was just the thanking her for her service to our state or whatever. I'm like, so what? If I'm going to follow that, I'm going to thank anyone in public service, you know,
well, sure.
Like my trash man, like say, hey, thank you for your service, buddy. I know you're getting paid and it might be a fair wage, but thank you for your service.
You should. Do you tip your sanitation workers at Christmas?
I have no idea who my sanitation workers are, Jason.
Well, of course you don't. But I mean, but you can like leave like a gift for them. To say thank you for their service.
I'm going
to
ask this knowing the answer. Do you leave a tip for your...
Of course.
How do you do it? How do you leave it?
I make sure on Friday near Christmas,
okay,
when they come that they get a little cash gift for taking care of my...
How do you give it to them?
I hand it to them.
You wait.
Yeah.
You're just there waiting for the trash man.
Well, I always kind of end up knowing when my trash can's going to be there or my mail person. Do you give your mail person a tip at Christmas?
How about you give me a tip for being your friend at Christmas, Jason?
I mean, I should.
Yeah, you sure should, buddy.
I should. Just hand out tips to all my friends.
Listen, you're very kind. You're generous, but you also have the means to be generous, too.
How many times have you tipped Jane at Christmas for being your hairdresser for the last 30 years? Are you serious? Not one time have you tipped your hairdresser at Christmas?
Listen, I've already talked about this before, but it's common knowledge. If someone's cutting your hair and it's just them, they're not in a shop, they don't have, nobody else is taking a cut, you just pay them the wage because they're getting all of it. $14 for a shampoo and cut. That's what I pay Jane since 1984. What's the problem? It takes her 15 minutes to cut my hair. 15 minutes, Jason. 15 minutes, man. And I'm like, that's almost $60 an hour. That's not bad.
How many times have you gotten your hair cut since Jane?
Two times. I think I'm already due.
You've been just gone to supercuts.
I'm just floundering around now. I don't even fix my hair half the time because I'm so like disgruntled with it. And I'm like, I don't know what to do anymore. I'm just going to shave it off and be like, forget it. I'm out on the haircut game.
One of my good friends, I believe it was very flattering. He texted me and said, hey, my hairdresser has moved out of state.
Okay.
And I'd like to know who you go to, and I'm going to get a haircut from them.
Okay.
And I sent them Sean B.
Shout out.
My barber's app that he uses, and he booked a haircut, and he loved the experience.
Really?
He gave him the haircut that he wanted, my haircut.
This is the white guy?
Yes, white guy.
Okay.
Gave him the haircut that he wanted, said Sean was great, easy to talk to, and it was a great experience. And I can't wait. And Sean texted me and said, you know, thanks so much for the referral. It meant a lot. And
how much does it cost you?
I pay Sean.
Without tip.
I would pay Sean without a tip. I would pay Sean between $25 and $30.
Dang. And then you tip him $50. So $80 to $100 are out the door.
I would tip him $5 every time.
Oh, okay. Just $5.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I would give him a Christmas gift.
Of course.
You know?
Of course.
You got to give your hairdresser a Christmas gift. I mean, that's just common knowledge amongst paying American citizens who live in a society.
Do you want me to say you're a better person than me?
No,
because you are.
No, no.
I will say it. I will say it. That's fine.
I had lunch today with a friend and a very faithful podcast listener, Ann R.
Shout out.
Man, she's the absolute best.
Yes, she is very faithful.
One of the things we talked about the podcast. And one of the things we talked about was how much I enjoy the podcast because I don't have someone in my life I talk to for an hour every week.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Very few, right? Yes. That I would talk to that long and intentional in a conversation. And I said, I learned so much about Shane, but I learned so much about other people and the world, and I am different than other people, and I like that.
Yes. Yes.
And so when you go on a rant about how you don't think any politicians are actually trying to do good for the world, it's like, oh, my God, really? People think this way. Or people who go throughout life and don't tip ever their hairdresser. It's just like, wow, these people that are different than me exist. So what I told Anne, faithful podcast listener, was how much I enjoy learning about how people are different than me. That's one of my favorite parts of the pod.
You are unique. I will grant you that. Listen, I've done a whole episode on tipping, so we're not going to get too deep into it. But yeah, do you tip? Like, I went to the garage in Stillwater,
right?
And garage is counter service,
right?
Okay, now they do bring you your food,
right?
But when you run your credit card, it asks you, you know, prompts you for a tip and shows you a bunch of different percentages, and it tricks you, and you got to go through a gauntlet to get to no tip. Do you tip?
Custom $1 at every counter service.
Really?
Yes. If the counter service brings me my food, I will custom $1 tip. If they give me my food right there, I skip, no tip.
I just think, man, you're already charging a pretty good amount of money here. I don't know why I have to pay more. I want you to charge whatever amount of money that you think it's worth, and I will agree to that price, and we will both be happy. When I think that I need to pay more, but it's unclear, it bothers me, so I'm just like, I need this transaction to be as transparent as possible and us both to be very clear on what's expected. And I do think that every time I click no tip and then the cashier sees it, I think they judge me.
Oh,
they
I think
probably
they
don't.
They probably do.
I don't think they do.
They probably judge you.
I don't think they do because I bet they tip share and they're like, what do I care, man? It doesn't amount much to me. But anyway,
I went to. I got a tip story real quick.
Okay, but look at our time. And you got on to me last time.
I did get on to you last time.
And now I'm trying to save you the majority of time. I know that.
Yeah.
I know that. Okay, but you tell your tip story.
I, at a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yes.
Tipped a to-go order.
Okay.
I tipped.
Yep.
I usually try to tip not full 10% at a to-go restaurant, but I will tip $2, $3, $4.
Okay.
Depending on the size of the order.
On to go.
On
okay.
a to go order.
Okay. I never tip on to go.
Correct. I was there and I came out and said, hey, you know what? Could I have a little bit more celery?
Okay.
And the man said, you can have whatever you want, man. You gave us a big tip. And he gave me like loads of celery. And I love celery and ranch. I love it.
Oh, me too.
It's like I like getting wings. But I think I like getting wings because I like celery and ranch.
Me too.
Are you serious?
I don't even like wings. I'll eat the boneless wings, but I'm like, can you just give me a bunch of celery and ranch,
please? I love celery and ranch, man. So good. It's like the best snack.
Yeah.
Oh. I wish they would bring it to me like as an appetizer before I ate my wings.
Yeah. Yeah.
My wings would be hot.
Everywhere. Why doesn't everywhere serve celery and ranch? Totally
I would like that more than any other appetizer.
I'd eat that over French fries.
Me
too. I'm not kidding you.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Top tip. Totally off subject a little bit, but kind of on. So we were at the garage.
Yeah.
Colby.
Shout out.
Graduated. Yeah. He got, when you get fries, they're like, what sauce? And I'm like, it's fries, man. I don't know. You know, ranch, whatever, man. I don't like to dip my fries.
Oh.
Typically. I don't. Because I'm just like, it's fattening enough. Just the fries alone.
I don't dip my pizza into anything like ranch.
Because, no, I don't either.
But people love that.
I know they do, but man, I'm like, it's not enough calories already.
Yeah.
He ordered some barbecue aioli sauce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I'm like, this is really good. And then one of our Cody.
Oh, shout out.
He's like, this tastes very similar to the Chick-fil-A sauce. And I'm like, that is totally it. And then Colby's like, that's 100% it. It's literally the Chick-fil-A sauce, but just a little more barbecue flavor in it.
Mm.
It's very, very good. So if you go to the garage, mm-hmm. and you get fries or anything that you can dip, get the buffalo.
No,
barbecue
aioli.
Aioli. I don't even know what that aioli means.
They do like a. They also do a dipping sauce that's very good. That's like a chipotle ranch.
Oh wow,
that's a really good dipping sauce.
I need to.
Now, when you go to the garage, would you order your fries? Do you order your fries well done?
Of course I do.
You do?
Extra crispy. Yeah.
I didn't know this existed.
Oh yeah, yeah. Hey. Brent C.
Oh, shout out.
He taught me that trick.
Wow.
And sure enough, and then they'll put a little toothpick in it, you know, with a little flag or something, just to denote that it's.
Well, Lisa Sand.
Yeah, extra crispy.
Lisa S. is the one who taught me about the well-done fries. Now I do well-done pizza.
Wow.
I order it well-done.
No.
Because I want it crispy on the bottom. I don't want a floppy
but
piece
I don't
of pizza.
Want it burned at all.
No, but crispy is way better than floppy.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
I would wait in line. For crispy pizza.
We may agree to disagree on that.
Okay.
You like Totino's pizza?
I love Totino's pizza, man.
It's like pizza crackers.
Grew up on it, man.
Me too. That's true, like, too.
When
it's
Katie and I
though.
Didn't have any money back in the olden days.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When those pizzas would go on sale for like 33 cents a piece,
we'd
fill the freezer with them.
Oh, of course.
And so we were eating lots of.
Probably still got some today
that
time period.
So it was like, oh, man, Katie. They're on sale.
Yeah.
The 79-cent pizza's on sale for 33 cents.
That's right.
We've got to buy as many as we can fit in our freezer. And it was the best.
And
so it tastes like youth.
It does taste like youth. And I used to eat a whole one, you know, just me, myself.
Oh, okay.
I just eat a whole one.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore.
We would split one, and it would be just great. So that's the kind of pizza that when we get a frozen pizza, there's like all these sorts of different kind of fancy ones. Like, give me Totino's, man. Give me Totino's frozen
pizza. I like Jack's.
Oh, never heard of it.
It's good. Walmart has them. Jack's. They're good. They're definitely a step up from Totino's. But anyway, enough about that. Look at the time. Listen, you promised. You did a teaser on the last episode,
did.
And
I
you
did.
Said you were going to talk about some stuff. And I want to give you the entire 30 minutes or whatever you want to take with it.
Okay,
however much time you want.
Okay. Well, I would like to
this
talk
is
about
the Jason episode part two.
I would like to talk about school pickup. Now,
picking up your children from school.
Yeah, this is not going to apply to every single person because there are many people who don't have children. Right?
That's true.
There are other
That's
people
true.
Who have only had their children go to a public school where they lived outside of a mile from the school, so they only took the bus to school and brought the bus home from school.
That's fair.
So there are many people this would not even apply to.
Okay.
But there are many people who have had, whether they lived closer than a mile,
okay,
their kids didn't want to take the bus,
yep,
or they went to a school that was a private school that didn't have school buses.
Or the parent just wanted to go pick up the kid,
windshield
even if they
time.
Live 3 miles away or whatever.
Yeah, windshield time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So we talked about rules and living in a society.
Yes, you love rules.
I do love rules. And I have friends in my life who help me along. And I think have helped to shape me become a person who's not so maybe methodical about the rules. One of them is my friend Jeremy L.
I knew you were going to say him. Shout out. Absolutely. Jeremy and you are very different in that regard.
It's one of the reasons he's my closest friend.
Okay.
Because I am drawn to him because he thinks of things that would never cross my mind.
Yes. He thinks outside the box.
He does.
He and I think very similarly in many ways.
Yes, you do. That's one thing that I probably am drawn to you because I think about this is how I know how the world works.
Right.
And then I like when there are people who are similar to me, but their mind thinks. It's one reason I think I love my friendship with Jason H.
Shout out.
From Sunday school.
Yes. Oh.
He's brilliant.
He is.
And I don't think he's not mentioned much the pod to me, so I'm not sure if he's a faithful listener or not.
Probably not anymore.
So, but that guy, he'll say things and I'm just like, I never would have thought of that.
He's brilliant.
Yeah.
He's brilliant and unbelievably witty. He's one of the most witty people I've met in my life. And I'm just like, I can't get enough Jason H time.
Yeah, man.
Sometimes you want to go? Yes, I do. Because
he's great.
You're going to say something crazy or stupid or witty or whatever.
Well, I think I'm blessed by a lot of people in my life because I think that I think a particular way. And I do think that maybe because of my limited life experience, I think most people think like me.
Okay.
Right? So
I think that's a tendency for all of us.
Right.
Yes,
yeah,
sure.
That's yeah. Good comment.
Oh, thanks.
So, and then I get someone in my life who will say like, well, that's dumb. Why don't you think about it this way? I think to myself, I've never didn't know there's one way to think about it. So
are we allowed to do that?
Right. But I think that that's how I have felt
a lot
of my life.
Yeah.
So I spend a lot of time with my friend Jeremy L, and he'll say things that'll just be like, wow, I didn't know I was allowed to think differently than how I think.
Sure.
I did not know it was. So there are some people who I think that if this podcast would have been recorded 10 years ago, and then 5 years ago, and then this year, I think that I would have think differently about certain subjects.
Okay.
One of them being the school pickup line.
All right. I'm ready.
So I do have a George Costanzan way about me when he yells, we live in a society.
Yes.
There are rules.
Yes.
And I fully believe that about the school pickup line.
Okay.
There are administrators.
Yes.
Who have studied the history of this process.
Wow. Okay.
And they know the best way to go about it.
Okay. I believe
you. And the best way to drop off a child and pick up a child.
Okay.
They give you rules that if everyone followed after these rules, it would go well with you.
Okay, okay.
Right, and it'll not only will it go well with you, it'll go well for all of you.
You're making an assumption that everybody's process is the best process, but most people have a different process, and therefore they all can't be the best, because if they're different, then they're inherently not the best. But you're making an assumption that they've done their homework, and whatever they say works out best, right?
I'm doing the assumption that every administrator at that school
believes
that the rules that they have handed down are the rules that will function best for their school.
Okay.
For the safety of their students.
They know better than me.
Yes.
Okay.
And they probably can see things that are happening that you can't potentially see.
Sure.
And if they didn't see those things, they would be able to sort of recognize, oh, we need to shift or pivot to a better plan here. Because they can see, like, oh, it's not working.
Right.
We need to make a change.
Okay. You're buying into the system that they're using is the best because they're in the best position to make these decisions. And so whatever they tell me to do is what I'm going to do because it's the best.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I understand.
Now, that probably, not everyone probably believes that.
No, what you're saying makes a lot of sense, but I will also say they typically don't have the perspective of the parent.
Yeah.
And so there's valuable input in us, the parents, as well. So it's not just about their side. It's about our side, too.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes they don't take that into consideration enough. But anyway, keep going.
Okay, so there are particular ways to go through a school pickup line.
There are.
They're the way that...
How many different schools have your children gone to?
Two.
Just two different schools. And you've dropped them off and picked them up from both schools?
Yes.
Has the process been the same at each school the entire time period that your child was there?
No.
And they changed.
They changed right, at both schools.
Well, hit me with some of them.
Well, I want to say as far as there are different ways to go about how to drop off a child.
Okay.
One is to follow the rules.
Okay.
Another way to go about it is not follow the rules.
There you go. Follow the rules, don't follow the rules.
Right. And so at drop off and pick up.
Okay.
When you're dropping your child off at my particular school now currently.
Okay.
At the beginning of the year.
Okay.
For the littlest ones, you're not supposed to get out of your car and help little Johnny into the school.
Okay.
Right?
You drive up to the front of the school.
Yes, and drop them off.
You stay in your driver's seat.
Yes.
You stop the car. You let him out.
And
see
then,
you, little Johnny.
Yes.
Don't get out of the car. But some parents, clearly.
And if you're not going to do it that way.
Okay. Then you can
you need to park.
Yes.
And walk your child in.
So you see people.
Oh, boy, Shane. This is a big one for me. This is a real big one for me.
I really hope you have a story about confronting one of these
parents. I have not confronted somebody. Like I did.
That surprises me.
Smashburger.
That surprises me.
I'm maybe I've forgiven myself and forgotten the ways in which I would have confronted.
I would love to hear a story about that. Could you just make one up?
Well,
doesn't have to be real.
Maybe if any listeners out there.
Hit me with it. So, do you see like the same parents doing it over and over again?
There's one particular vehicle
would be
my mortal enemy. I have discovered who that family is over the years. But there is one family that the rules don't apply.
Let me guess. It's a Cadillac Escalade.
No, it's one of those huge, massive vans.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there are also other ways that bother me when people don't obey the rules.
Okay, let's hear it.
And one of them is at pickup time.
Okay.
So there are rules about pickup time.
Okay, explain to me.
Which line you're supposed to get in.
Okay, explain to me how your process works. Well, so I'm curious.
Well, I will say this.
Okay.
You're asking me good questions, but I keep deflecting them.
You
because
do.
Because
you do.
And one of them
I feel
is,
like I'm talking to Ken.
Oh.
Yes or no?
There are.
Well,
I would say that when school pickup line begins, let's say school pickup time is going to be like pickup at 3:05.
3:05.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm always astounded if I go there at 2:15.
Yes. Yes.
To check my kid out for their dentist appointment
or
something.
Yes.
There are people already in line.
Yes.
That always has astounded me.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about. Can we talk a little bit about that right now?
Sure.
I too have noticed that, and it's not just your school.
Yeah.
It's every school.
Yes.
Right. Now, your school is a little different because they don't even have, like, bus system.
No buses available.
Right. So,
yeah.
So you got everybody's picking up or dropping off, unless their child drives, of course.
Correct.
Not like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I am always mystified, is the word I'm going to use, of the people that do that. Now, I've never literally gone and sat at a school for multiple days to figure out, you know, which car arrives when. I think that'd be kind of fascinating. And then go up to those first few people and say, what are you doing?
Yes.
You know, why are you coming an hour before school is out and just sitting here in your car? Now, I've thought about this, and I think I have an answer. Do you think you have an answer?
I've got a couple of theories.
Share first, because this is your episode.
No. I want to hear from you first.
I could be way off base here.
Okay.
Because I don't know.
Okay.
I do believe these are parents, probably their first child.
Mm.
They don't have a job.
Right.
Okay.
You couldn't. Yeah.
You couldn't. You really, really love your child. I think they really, really do love their children.
Okay.
And I think just the fact that they miss their kids so much during the day, if they go to school and they're sitting there, they're that much physically closer to the child. So number one, if something were to happen to the child, they'd be right there.
Okay.
So they don't worry as much because they're right there, you know. But they're also just thinking, I'm just right here in case something happens. And I'm also just, I'll be the first one, and it shows my child how important they are to me because I'm the very first one in the line, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it. But the flip side of that is I think there's plenty of other people that they just use it as an excuse for a little bit of downtime.
Yeah.
And bring a book and be like, well, I got to go pick up my kid. And, you know, I got to get there early because otherwise the line. So I got to sit there for an hour reading my book all alone, you know, with the windows rolled down or whatever. And I think that's just a little bit of me time. That, and I'm not saying it's selfish, but I'm saying you can kind of claim it as I'm doing something I have to do. But, you know, just along the way, I'm also getting a little bit of me time. That's my whole theory of why they do that. But I really have no idea because I've never once been like an hour early to pick up my kids.
No, it's I've done it a couple of times where I've got something that they need to get to right after school.
Okay.
So if the school line,
if time is of the essence, yes. And like 3:05, we got to be out of there. 3:06, then I got to be early because I got to be in the front of that line.
Right. Okay. Right. So, I also think one more idea about that is I do think that there's potentially, I've been thinking about this.
Okay. Good.
It's not a first child, it's a second or third child.
Okay.
And they got a baby, and primo afternoon nap time is going to be in the car.
Okay.
And so you can get me time.
Yes.
And you can get nap time. For your little one in the car before they wake up when the little brother, sister, little older brother and sister comes in. So I think that there's a potential of kids like to sleep in a car when they're little, and you can knock out me time and nap time in the same space.
But it's more about driving the car around, I think, that makes the child sleepy.
But once they're asleep and you just leave the car on, got the air conditioner going,
That's fair.
Maybe people with experience will tell us about why they're there.
Well, I don't even have to interview
them super early.
I don't even have to interview them because you could just go like 30 minutes early, right, to a school, and just kind of drive down and see the cars that are there. You could see in the cars to see if they've got kids, other kids in there or whatever.
Better if you went and go ahead and interviewed them.
It would be because I would love to get in their head to say, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Now, they'd have to be fully truthful with you, which they may be too embarrassed to admit that, I just really miss my kids, so I just, it helps me not miss them as much just to sit up here and wait or just to get the me time or whatever the case is. But, yeah, every single school, I drive by on the Northwest Expressway. I drive by Northwood Elementary in Piedmont.
Yeah.
And you can see it, the car pickup line. You can very clearly see it from the expressway.
Yeah.
So I drive by it a lot. And I think they're out at like 3:00 or whatever, you know, because then they'll put on the speed limit, you know, slow down flashers. Even before those go on, you know, like at 2:00 or whatever, I'll see a few cars sitting over there.
Yeah.
And they're not parked. They're sitting there in the line. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? I don't know. But maybe I should do that a few times and be like, I was wrong. I'm all in on this now, man. Let's go get some me time and read a book and just sit and chill out in the car. I don't know. It sounds pretty great.
Well,
since
you don't read books, I think they would probably be like scroll on your phone or watch TikTok.
No, I would read a book. I like reading, actually. I don't do very much of it, but I like reading.
We've talked about how you don't read books on this podcast. Do you read books when you watch them on the television screen?
I know that, but when I get into a really good book that I read, I like reading. I do. Believe it or not, I do.
Have you read In Shane Podcast Novel of the Year? Midnight Library yet? Have you?
Oh no, checked that one out? I need to make a note to myself to read that. A Midnight Library. That's right. I will. But
okay.
But anyway, the more I think through it, the more I'm thinking maybe these people have it right, and I'm the crazy one thinking. You know, because I always thought you're just being so unproductive. What, you don't have a life? You know, that's the mean side of me of like, don't you have stuff to do? Well, the rest of us, we're running until we got to go pick up 2 minutes to go pick up our kid. You know, that type of thing. And I'm like, starting to think these people have it right, you know, and I'm starting to become jealous of them versus thinking they're pathetic.
There's definitely a worst time to come.
Okay, let's hear it.
The worst time to come to the pickup line is the absolute time when there's no benefit of the efficiency of the pickup.
Okay.
You're picking your kid up.
Yeah.
You're there for 40 minutes.
Right.
And you're getting your kid at 3:15.
Right.
Whereas the person who showed up at 2:15,
right,
they may wait an hour, but they get their kid right away. But there's just – it is just an – I would the math and science potentially behind the efficiency of waiting about when to best come
right.
to pick up.
Right.
I have decided that the way I am going to Jeremy L my way through the pickup line
okay.
is to just come at the end of the pickup line.
And I did that with you recently.
Yes.
And what did we do? We pulled right up to the door. And they came out, and bada bing, we pulled out of the parking lot, and it was a 3-minute experience. It was fantastic.
And so I could
and
have.
And we were, you were probably only like 10 minutes after the. 10 minutes late.
I could have timed it within 2 to 3 minutes of the last person picked up.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I'm pulling up, and I'm there.
So around 10 minutes, probably after the process starts, after they actually get out of school.
Yes.
So your kids are waiting 10 minutes. Big deal, right? Like,
right.
I mean, it's not a big deal.
So they're waiting 10 minutes
okay.
for me to save 45 minutes.
That's right. That's right.
And
yeah,
so
exactly.
I just sort of said,
yeah.
And my littler kid who listens to the podcast.
Yes.
Berkeley S.
Shout out.
She, I believe, loves being at school with her friends. In fact,
okay.
when we stopped doing after school care because
okay.
her sister was driving.
Okay.
I think she was really bummed. Because
yeah.
she really wanted to be at school for longer
sure.
each day than she had to be.
Right.
You know, it was like
right.
after school care was like the best part of school.
So she's like, hey, if you can buy me a few extra minutes, that's all good.
I perceive that to be the answer in, Berkeley's
yeah.
life.
I bet so.
She can have more
so.
Time with friends.
Yeah. McCall, maybe not as much.
Yeah, probably not as much. But that, I mean, it's so weird how things change. Because I was actually trying to, on the way here and last week, thinking of the stories of how I would get so angry at the drop off and pick up with both of my kids. And it's so fascinating to me, Shane, how quickly you forget.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Those things
yes. Yes.
when they are no longer part of your life.
Right. Right.
But there will be times when there'd be people getting in the wrong line.
Ooh. Ooh.
And would just mess up the absolute traffic flow of everything.
Yeah.
And it was moments that I have to think to myself, okay, maybe that's a grandparent who didn't know the rules.
There you go.
Right?
There you go. Sure.
But if it's the same vehicle
right.
who is just doing whatever they want
right.
because they believe that their time is more important than everybody else's time, boy, that makes my blood absolutely boil, Shane. I think that's that. It's the kind of, I am going to be selfish in this moment. And then I have to say to myself, well, maybe
yes.
there's something going on in that person's life that they just had to break the rules today.
Yes.
Because there's something
yes.
going on. They had to get to the hospital.
Their
loved one is there.
That's the same story I tell myself when I'm driving in traffic and somebody blows
yeah.
by me or cuts me off or whatever.
Right.
And I think their wife could be in labor.
Yeah.
Or their child is in the hospital and they're rushing to see him or whatever. You know, I don't know the story and I'm not going to make assumptions and I'm just going to say.
Look at you.
Let him go.
Yeah.
I try. It's not always like that.
Well, that's
but
a very
anyway.
Generous story you're giving people. Because so my friend Jeremy L.
Yes.
Calls my phone my black box of sadness. Because he says, as a pastor that cares for, let's say, 1,000
yes.
or so people,
yes.
every day, and it's not every day, let's say once
yeah.
a week,
okay.
I'm going to talk to, someone's going to call me, and it's going to be the worst day of their life.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't call my black box of sadness because I feel like I get to be present when people need pastoral care, counseling, the very presence of Jesus in the moments that they would, hopefully they need that the most.
Good,
right?
Sure.
But so you've given a generous story to people who will cut in line or be selfish in ways because you're saying to yourself, that may be the worst day of that person's life and
yeah.
they have to get home.
Yeah, yeah.
I just have a hard time with people who constantly break the rules at lacking sort of, I would say, consideration for society in ways that if they would do this, things would go well for them. So.
And I understand that too, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, it's their life, and maybe they need that more than me.
Man.
You know? And even when stuff has been stolen from me recently, I'm just
yeah.
like, I hope they needed that. And they
yeah.
probably do, frankly, more than I do because I really didn't even need it, you
yeah.
know? But I'm like, I really hope they did, and I hope it does them good, you know, that type of thing. I mean, because what are you just going to get upset, you know? I mean, we both have means,
yeah.
right? So I'm just not going to get upset over that stuff. Now, our time is a little more valuable when somebody's stealing your time by doing something like that, but I mean, I've got plenty of time too, because so I'm kind of like, it's okay. You know, I'm just trying to chill out a little bit more. Now, but I want to know, when we went and we picked up your girls,
yeah.
you had to stop and go inside and get them.
Yeah.
I don't understand. What's the normal process? When
normal
people
process is there's a little tag.
Like a number in your
yes,
car?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And then they would call down and say, you know,
yeah.
car number 364.
Okay.
And then they would call her out.
Okay.
And I was late enough that day that I was not part of that process. So I just go in and say, hey, I'm here for Berkeley. And they come out and just let her out with me.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And it's a small enough school.
Yeah.
That it makes that pretty easy.
I hear you. Yeah.
So
I think a lot of schools have gone to that, you know, even in the, my goodness, I started picking up Luke, my oldest.
Shout out.
When he was, so this would have been 2004.
Okay.
And it was a small elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And their process was just not too terribly organized. It was more of a teacher standing out there that kind of recognizes the cars.
Oh, wow.
Or you just tell them.
Yeah.
You know. And then eventually they got the walkie-talkies, you know, and they do that. But then eventually, I think most all schools have gone to the number system.
Yeah.
Where you have to have a number up mm-hmm. on your car, like on your rearview mirror or whatever. Yeah. And then somebody's there with the walkie-talkie, 414,
yep.
391, you know, or whatever the case is. And then they're sending the kids out. Although, like I've told you before, so we are just like, this is ridiculous, you know. I mean, it's just, it's inefficient.
Yeah, how did you get around
it's inefficient,
system?
It's frustrating. And so we found out that, and our there was a busy street that the school was on, a four-lane street, but they had a crossing guard there. And then you got into basically our neighborhood. It was still a good like three quarters of a mile down to our house, but it was all neighborhoods, you know. And we found out at the beginning of the year or whenever, I guess you could change it, you designate your child as a rider.
Okay, yes.
Or a school bus rider.
Right.
Or a car rider or a walker.
Yeah.
The walkers,
yeah,
they basically just let them go.
Yeah.
They don't control them. They right. just kind of let them go because, like, that's on you. You walk wherever. Now, they would do like one big group that they would walk to the crossing guard.
Oh, okay.
And then the crossing guard would cross a bunch at a time. So then we just learned, you know, and there's always, you know, a handful of parents like us. It's not like we're the only ones. We didn't corner this market. But there's usually like 5, 6, you know, maybe even 10 cars parked in the neighborhood right there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is way faster. If you just let them out, they're walking home and I'll just walk to my car and I'll pick them up and we drive them home. That was the hack.
That was great.
Because I too, and I used to be much worse at this. I don't like inefficiencies.
Yeah.
You know, I used to be, when I worked for AT&T.
Yeah.
My job was to basically make the call center more efficient.
Okay.
I was an operations manager.
Okay.
And really what that means more than anything is just efficient. Because the more efficient you are, the less money you're spending, the more money you're making. It's
yep.
that simple. And that's yeah. every business. That's their number one goal. So in my mind, it's always frustrating when I see something that's very inefficient. You know, mm-hmm. I'm one of those guys in that commercial. People, can we form this line around here? And if it works better, you know, I don't know if one of the Progressive commercials, becoming your parents
those
or whatever.
Are so
pretty,
great.
That's me.
Yeah.
That's me. It's tough for me not to do that. So it would frustrate me. And I had this, there was one particular teacher and she was about my age.
Come on.
And we really clashed.
Okay.
Because she was, you know, you better do it by the book, you know, that type of thing.
For the pickup line or but for
yeah,
everything?
Yeah, for the pickup line.
Okay.
But kind of for everything, too. But she had a child in the same grade as mine.
Yeah.
So I'd see her all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but we clashed.
Did she not like that you were the walker that was really a rider?
No, she didn't really care much about that. But when I would pick up my kids from, like, the pickup lane,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm just like, whatever, man. It's not that big of a deal. Like, you're freaking out over the stay in your car. It's not a big deal, man. And it wasn't like I would be wasting time or anything. I would just say, well, there's a reason for this. And she's like, no, you got to, you know, it was just follow the rules no matter what. And I'm like, okay, you need to at ease. This isn't the military. And I get it. There's a safety issue, right? Like, kids, I'm sure, have been hit in parking lots and probably have some fatalities.
Sure.
Of school parking lots.
There was somebody who hit a teacher at my kid's school.
Really?
And they had to like make sure like, hey parents, don't be on your phones.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hey kids picking up, don't be yeah. on your phones during the yeah. pickup line. Like, don't just coast through this process.
Absolutely.
There's
Absolutely.
Lives out here. Yeah.
Yeah. I may have mentioned on the one time I hit a person in a car, my school parking lot. Remember to tell you about that?
No.
You want me to tell you real quick? We're running out of time. Do you have more? You probably have more you want to
talk
about.
I don't have a lot more. In fact, I was disappointed in how good my episode, this part of the episode might be, because I want to hear the story.
Okay.
But as far as what you've said about, hey, it's okay if not everyone follows the rules.
Yes.
There's been times in my life when I don't think I would have handled that well.
Okay.
I think that I've maybe grown in, as I've aged, to say, it's okay. Because I think that the anger that would well up in me when someone did not follow the rules
yeah.
because of what I believe to be selfish behavior that was repetitive.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I had a real problem with it.
Okay.
And I would get really angry.
Mm.
Not at them or to yell at them or to run their car off the road.
Yeah.
But just like in my car. And yeah. What you're saying is that did no good for you.
Right.
Like, hey, people are different.
Yeah.
And that man or woman in their selfishness.
Right.
Like I remember saying to my girls.
Okay.
Somewhat of a confession here.
Okay.
We're like almost an hour into the episode.
We are. So people, we're wrapping it up.
Diehard fans are only going to be part. Only
I know. That's
part
true.
Of this,
everybody so. Else turned it off a long time ago.
There would be moments when, in the car, me and my two children. Let's say they're like third grade in kindergarten or something.
Okay. Okay.
I would say, girls, we go to a Christian school. That person right there, not a Christian. That person believes that they are more important than everybody else, and we know. What God asks of us is that we would think of others before thinking of ourselves. And there are rules. And we live in a society.
That's right.
And that person over there, maybe they say they're a Christian, but we know by this activity in their life,
yeah,
they are not.
Yeah.
And I would
right.
say that, and they'd be, Dad, you know, I'd be like, no, honey,
yeah.
This is what it means.
Yeah.
You live in a society with rules, and yeah. you don't repetitively break those rules at your benefit, at the hurt and harm of everybody else.
Yes.
And so I remember I can feel that anger. So what you're saying is, Smitty.
Yes.
Hey, it's okay, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's the difference between maybe at most 5 minutes of your life, probably yeah. much less.
Yeah.
Probably in the grand scheme of things, like a minute of your life.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
Yeah.
And you know what? Just enjoy the presence of your kids in the car.
100%.
Or just enjoy the few more minutes of that podcast.
That is exactly what I'm saying.
Man.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
But
I mean,
that's
it's tough to adjust yourself to have that kind of attitude. Because I do think that some people, and I've seen kids and families, that they're just born safety officers.
Oh, born.
Right? Right. Hey, John M.
Shut up.
He's the oldest. Okay. Taylor.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Shut up. Yeah.
Is the safety officer.
Yeah.
Very different from Drew.
Yeah, shut up.
They're very different.
Yeah.
But I do believe that Taylor was born a safety officer. And so many people in other families, I've seen them, they're just the born safety officer. So it's just in them that, like, we have to do this the right way. We have to follow the rules. It just has to be this way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it doesn't have to be this way. But I understand that some people, like you, you can't even fathom that there's another way to do it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it bothers you. But then there's people like me and Jeremy
mm-hmm.
who say, it's okay. There are other ways to do it. Are we all going to get where we're going? We're going to get our kids eventually, and we're going to get to the next stop, whatever it is in life. We're going to get there, man.
Yeah.
It's okay. You know, chill out, man. Enjoy a little more time with your kids. It's all good. You know, as long as no one gets hurt, it's all good. You know, so it does take time to change your attitude and develop that type of viewpoint. But, man, once you do, it's pretty, every once in a while, you got to really, really push me to get me over that edge anymore. And I'm like, road rage is something I just really never deal with anymore. Other than if it's one person and I keep encountering him, you know, and I'm like, okay, you can push me so far, but eventually I'm going to lose my zen that I got going, and I'm going to be a regular person. But anyway, so, okay, this story real quick.
Yeah.
In high school, went to Waltrip High School. It's inner city Houston.
Thank you. Great town. Congrats on the number 3 pick in the lottery. Houston
Thanks. Didn't even know that. Great. Yeah. So this was an inner city, pretty rough school that I went to. It wasn't no Oklahoma Christian High School or Academy or Oklahoma Christian School. Is
yeah.
that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Ain't no fancy like that.
Okay.
All right. The opposite. We had a full-time substance abuse monitor. He was just there for substance abuse. And every day the cops were there busting somebody else for drugs or whatever else because they were very rampant at our school.
Wow.
But I didn't care. My friends were cool and I liked them. And anyway, so I began driving, and I would drive myself to and from my house. And we had the security guard there. It was one guy, Mr. Abraham.
Okay.
He was a very...
Shout out.
He was like a... He's like the drill instructor in An Officer and a Gentleman. I'm trying to think of that actor's name.
Not quite.
Of course
familiar
you don't.
With that movie.
Of course you're not. So he's a very fit looking black guy.
Okay.
That's just very, you know, typical drill sergeant type
yeah.
of mentality. This was this guy. the security guard. He was no warm and fuzzies with him. I never saw him once smile.
Okay? He was a safety officer, but he was born as a safety officer patrol. And
he
lived into that calling.
And everybody was scared of him, okay, including me, big time. Oh, big time. But he would, when kids got out of school, he would go out in the parking lot, and he was directing traffic and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's one day, and he's out to direct traffic, and I got out of the parking lot, but I'm still in the main parking area of the school, and I'm just waiting my turn to kind of, and we're going around this curve, and it was just stop and go, you know, never very fast or whatever. But he had kind of walked in front of my car. So there's a car in front of me. I can't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. He had walked like right in front of my car, but not in the middle of it, like where the just barely the bumper's going to hit him, that type of thing, just a little bit. And he's looking off in another direction, like directing other people, but like he's purposely there to stop me from going. I don't know if he was letting other people go or I don't remember him like pointing at me and holding up a hand or anything like that, right? But he's standing and the car in front of me went.
Oh no.
And I went, and I hit him. Not hard, but I hit him. He gave me this look like he was going to kill me. And I'm like, the window's rolled up, and I was not going to roll the window down. And I'm just in the car like, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. It was a total, you know, I mean, he could tell that I was freaking out, and I clearly did that on accident. And really going back, I want to say to him as an adult.
Yeah.
Are you a moron? You've got a bunch of kids who've been driving for less than a year in many situations, and you're going to stand in front of one of their cars? That's on you, bro. Don't be dumb. Don't stand in front of them. Don't think that just because you're in front of a car, it's going to stop that car, because it won't. Okay? Kids are terrible drivers. Fact. Even I wasn't a very good driver at that time. And credit to him.
Did he discipline you at all?
No. Wow. It didn't hurt him.
Yeah.
I mean, I barely started going. So I was going like a mile an hour, you know, and then it was just kind of bumped into his knees or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he, you know, I'm sure at first he thought I did it on purpose.
Yeah.
And he was just like, you're so mad. But then he could tell it was genuine, because I was like, I'm freaking out, you know, because I just think he's going to kill me. And it was a very genuine freak out. I wasn't faking it. And he was like, go. You know, I was like, okay, don't stand in front of my car again, please.
That's a great story.
But anyway, yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
My only response is, since we're past an hour,
we are.
is if it's a good thing he wasn't Luka Doncic, because he would have fallen over and acted like he would have been killed.
We're not going to talk about it other than to say, that may have been the most stressful game I've ever watched in my entire life.
What a roller coaster of emotions. Case of emotions.
I talked to Casey just earlier today.
Yeah, shout out.
Yeah, and we were texting a little bit last night, the three of us.
Yeah.
Full confession, I couldn't handle it. So what I would flip on to another program.
No.
I had my phone up, like that would give me updates, but that way I didn't have to watch it, you know?
Oh.
Because I just couldn't. It hurt so much to watch it. When we were down, that I'm like, I'm getting way more negative than positive out of this, and I just need to like just let it go and remember that my life is pretty great outside of this.
it sounds like a theme of the episode in some ways as we head to our close.
Life is going to go on, Shane. If we lose this game, we go down 3-1. Life will go on, and you'll still have a good life, and it'll be okay.
Your life's pretty great. Even if the car in front of you repeatedly breaks the rules.
That's right. But you know what? We won, so it's all good.
Thunder up.
All right, we'll see, because the next time we record, we'll see. There'll be at least a couple more games on our belt.
At least two more games. Maybe three.
It's an exciting series now.
The series will probably be over by the next time we record.
It probably will be.
Oh, man.
Hopefully it's us going on
let's hope.
To face, I don't know,
but
Minnesota,
you know what?
Denver,
not,
I don't know.
Life's
we'll
okay.
see. One of them. It is.
Life's
it, it's
great.
Okay. It's okay. All right. Well, thank you for that story.
Thank
and
you
all
for
that
having
stuff.
Me.
That was good stuff. You're welcome, as always. It's great. And until next time.
Thanks for listening to In Shane in the Membrane.
In Shane in the Membrane.
With your host, Shane Thompson. Don't forget to subscribe, and we'll see you next time on In Shane in the Membrane.
In Shane in the Membrane.